All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Check them out. They appreciate it. They're trying. Give them a chance. How are we doing today? May 12th, 2021. It is Wednesday. I'm not going to say it. Not going to say it. Hump day. All right, I said it. Sorry. Yeah. Good morning. So what's going on? I'm on a roll here. I've had like these openings in the morning where I'm able to come in and do this podcast. And you know, I don't know about most people or, you know, about the people listening. But in my world, we have, you know, we're a family. So we have children and responsibilities and you know, if I feel like when I was a kid, our schedules were very, I don't know, much more consistent, right? Like we did this. Maybe I'm just a little weirded out due to the COVID or the pandemic or just how really our whole world has been flipped upside down in the last couple of years or year and a half or whatever it's been. So schedules and the norm have completely changed. I'm not sure. Sometimes I wonder if maybe the change that we're going through is maybe going to be for the better. I don't know. But the point of all that was that, you know, every day is different. My wife has a schedule on where she works and I have a schedule where I work. But her schedule is always changing. So I'm having to, you know, since I own my own business, of course, I have freedom, right, which is not always true. But the point is that our schedule is kind of a little bit fluid. And so today I found out her schedule allowed her to take the kids this morning, so I had some free time. I get to come to work a little early and see if I could sit down and grind out a podcast about what it's like getting sober after you put down the drink. Or what sobriety is like after putting down the drink, or what life is like after putting down the drink, getting sober. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. But it's tricky, and it's challenging, and it isn't always like my schedule. It isn't always a given, right? You know, just because I went to bed last night sober and feeling great doesn't mean that I can't wake up this morning and be a little off. And I actually am a little off this morning. I woke up. I was supposed to run this morning with my buddy Brian. He texted me last night and said that he wasn't going to be able to run. And I actually was feeling, I don't know. I mean, I feel fine, but I had like, I don't know, allergies are bad. And yesterday it was really weird. This lady, a client of mine, is like, we were talking about running, and she goes, I hate to tell you this, but it's going to eventually start hurting in your knees. And I was like, stop. It's not going to hurt my knees. My knees feel great. Never had a knee problem. But this morning I woke up and my left knee was hurting. Thanks, lady. So I decided to skip the run. I would absolutely have ran if Brian didn't have something else to do. So, and the reason I make that commitment is for just that reason, because if left up to me, I will probably back out. There was just enough problems to skip it. My knee was actually bothering me. Allergies have been bugging me. My throat was feeling a little weird. It was a little windy this morning. It was a little chilly sounding. So there was all these things coming at me, and I was like, it won't hurt it to skip it. So I skipped the run this morning, and I probably will regret it, only because I just fell for some of my oldest tricks in the book, which I used to try to get myself out of doing stuff, and they worked this morning. But we'll pick it up on Friday and get back at it. But, you know, I get to come in, and I get to try to kind of talk about something that's going on this morning. And, you know, today is one of those days I just woke up and everything's been really great. The kids are all happy. And, you know, I don't, you know, obviously there's these obvious things that came along with getting sober. There were some obvious things that came along with being a drunk or consuming as much alcohol as I was at the time. you know, a lot of problems and fights and, you know, just the unknown and, you know, not having a schedule, not being able to make plans. You know, I remember in those days back in, you know, the deep into my drinking days, you know, never knowing what was next, but always knowing something was coming. You know, something, a DUI or I remember hitting my uncle's well in the front yard of the apartment I was renting from him. You know, it was always something, some big event. And, you know, one of the cool things about sobriety is that, you know, I don't have to worry about that big event. I don't have to worry about the, you know, the drama or the tragedy or the borrowing of money or whatever it is that had to fix it or get myself out of some predicament. You know, that those days have gone. But, you know, other things have shown up, like, you know, kids and family. And, you know, one of the great gifts, and I guess what I was going to say, a great gift is not having those big dramatic events happen, but really, in the end, one of the greatest gifts that's come from me, at least getting, putting down the drink and getting sober is, you know, my children, my family. And, you know, I had a lady yesterday tell me that if she could change anything in her life, she would have chosen to not have kids. And I was like, oh my God, I couldn't really believe that she had said that. Because to me, that's what my purpose is here. That's why I'm here. That's what my job is today. At 52 years old, my job is to, you know, number one, you know, take care of myself, you know, keep myself. I have a responsibility to take care of myself and be there for the next alcoholic or drug addict that needs help. I need to make sure that I do that. But the next thing is to be there for my family. And so, you know, one of the gifts is, and it's stupid. It's a silly gift, but, you know, like, you know, so one of the things, so we have my daughter, she's spirited, you know, she's feisty and she's a little small. My wife's short, and so my daughter's really short, and she doesn't like to always eat. I don't know about people out there with kids, but it always seems like one of the biggest challenges for us is food, feeding them. They're picky little bastards, and they only like junk food, and they don't like anything that's healthy, and they have 100 reasons why they can't eat the healthy stuff and 0 reasons why they can't eat the junk food. So one of our challenges is feeding my daughter. She's super skinny. She's small. She goes 100 miles an hour. And, you know, she doesn't like anything. And it's so aggravating. But she loves, like, junk. Chips and, you know, all the garbage. They'll eat the hell out of that. But when it comes to, you know, having some regular food, oh, that hurts my stomach. That hurts my stomach. I'm like, forget it. So we've gotten into this, or we started to get into this thing where how about we give her an Ensure drink, which are these chocolatey, man-made shit drinks, really. I mean, I'm sure maybe they're good for you. Maybe. And I'm only saying that because maybe I picked that up out of a commercial. I'm sure if you put fresh food, fruits, you know, a hard-boiled egg, you know, something very all-natural, clean, and compare that to the drink, I would assume that any sane person would say that the clean, fresh food is 10 times better than that dumb drink. But, you know, they program us and, you know, they teach us that Ensure, you know, or whatever they just drinks are. And really they're for, like, older people, you know, people that I don't even, you know. If you're invalid and you're not eating, or, you know, maybe you're coming to the end of your time on the planet and you're having trouble keeping on weight, yeah, maybe an Ensure or a drink like that. Or, you know, my mom, who didn't really like to eat but still needed some calories and she was in her 80s, you know, maybe that's a good drink. But a 7 or 8 year old to have to drink that, I'm like, come on. So I've been trying to be, like, I've been buying a lot of fruit. I started hard-boiling eggs. My daughter likes hard-boiled eggs. She doesn't like the yolk. She likes all the white part. But I'm like, if you could just have some fruit in the morning and maybe a hard-boiled egg, I'm good with that. You know, it's all natural. You know, it's all natural sugar, a hard-boiled egg. I mean, you could, If you were to go to like Weight Watchers or, you know, some sort of weight control class or group, they'll tell you like hard-boiled eggs, chicken, stuff like that is like 0 points. You could literally eat hard-boiled eggs all day and be fine. You're not going to get fat on hard-boiled eggs. You're not getting fat on, you know, diced up honeydew. So, you know, but this is like, this was something I wouldn't have worried about or wouldn't have cared about back in the drinking days. I could barely even, I probably needed a damn insurer. You know, the nutrition that I was eating back then was terrible. You know, so just, yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, some people look at kids and you know, having to figure out what to feed them and you know, having to deal with this kind of stuff is annoying. Maybe it's an inconvenience. I personally think it is awesome. I love providing for my family and kids. And I just, it's just such a gift. So that's something we're working on. And it's, you know, so just when you think, and it's kind of a lot like sobriety, you know, just when I think I've got it figured out, just when I think I figured out what she likes, the next day she's like, I don't like that. I'm like, what? You know, the first day I you know, she says, oh, I love hard-boiled eggs. I'm like, great. So the first day I sliced them, you know, I cut them. I slice and I put salt and pepper on them. That's because that's how I like it. Well, she doesn't like it like that. She doesn't even like it cut up. She likes to eat the egg, the white part around, and leave the yellow yolk ball. You know, that's like a thing. She likes to keep the ball in its ball form. And I'm chopping up the egg, and she's like, Dad, I don't like it like that. So it's very tough. But, you know, that's, it's a lot like life, right? It's a lot like sobriety. You know, I like I said, I went to bed last night feeling good. I woke up this morning, and I feel even better. I feel even better today. Is that dangerous? Is that dangerous to feel too good? I know it's not dangerous to feel. I mean, I guess it's dangerous to feel kind of crummy or, you know, lost or, like you've lost, you know, your excitement. You know, maybe that might be the beginning to leading you to a place where maybe you might choose to drink or use a drug or something. But same with happiness. I mean, I can wake up in the morning and I can just be beside myself. And, you know, maybe that's, maybe I don't need as much of a program now. Maybe I don't need to do a podcast. Maybe I don't need to read. You know, what's, I wonder what's more dangerous. It is always a challenge.
Stay with me, and you confuse me with your riddles and your sudden generosity. Call me in the afternoon, even by one. Call me in the afternoon, even by one. Afternoon.
shut that down. My boys, Half Moon Run. I'm so bummed out. You know, they announced the Firefly lineup, and I was hoping these guys would be playing, but they're not. And I'm really bummed out because a lot of the lineup I don't even like. And the worst part about it is I feel like the only reason I don't like it is because I'm getting old. Three shitty things. It's kind of a bummer. I mean, we'll go. We'll do the... I'm sure we'll do a Firefly podcast, and maybe I'll learn. That's the point of the Rehoboth Social Firefly Edition. Or maybe it's going to be called the Discovery Music Podcast Firefly Edition. I don't know what it is going to be called. Well, I'll definitely be letting people know. But, you know, the idea is we'll go through all the music, all the bands, and maybe I'll find some bands I like. I'm doing it with some great people. Dion Lamb is just, he is the, you know... He loves music, and he loves Firefly, and so he figures out the music, he figures out playlists, he figures out the days, he gives you an itinerary, hit stage, this stage for at this time for this band, and, you know, for the great Dion Lamb experience, you start here at this time, and you end here at this time, and you will have a pretty awesome time. So I'm hoping, you know, due to the fact we are doing the podcast and going through each band, I'll learn some more about some of these bands. But the headliners were... to me, a little disappointing, but a lot of other people seem to be pretty excited about it. Billie Eilish, I mean, she's okay, I guess. I don't know. I mean, should I like Billie Eilish? I mean, I don't hate her as a person, but I'm 52. Is that my music? I don't think so. I mean, I guess it could be, but I'm sorry. Who else? The Killers. The Killers are great. I just saw them, though, at Firefly the last time. Very good. I love that they have a new song out on their new album. It's very good. I've used it, I think, in this podcast before. And then Lizzo, and then some other band that I never even heard of. And that's, I think I feel bad about that, too, because I've never heard of them. And, you know, and I'm in this, you know, this text group with the people that we do the Discovery Music podcast with. And they're like, oh, my God, and typing the names of bands, you know, with... exclamation points and, you know, things and excitement. And I'm like, I never heard of them. I never heard of that band. So I feel, I don't know, feel some sort of way. And today we are doing I want to start a new podcast. But last night I was sitting on the couch watching TV and I'm thinking, why start another podcast? So I'm mixed. I'm on the fence. But I really like this guy, Shreddy McSkate. He's going to do the podcast with me today. And we're having the folks from Smash Mouth Burger, who apparently are putting out a pretty fierce burger. I don't know if anybody's heard of them. If we're in the Rehoboth, Lewis, Milton area, you probably heard of these guys. Smash Mouth Burger, food truck. I've only heard great things. They're coming on the podcast today. Eddie Shreddy McSkate is going to join me as my co-host. And I think we're going to feel our way through and see if maybe we can start a new podcast. And I think it's going to be called Are You Spirited? Are you spirited? Are you? Am I? You know? I feel like getting sober was what brought... my spirited back. Interesting thing that happened. So, there's a guy, and I've mentioned him before, Van Nystad, who started a YouTube channel called The Spirited Man. Love this guy's podcast, or love this guy's YouTube channel. Love the fact that he's spirited. I love the idea of spirited people. Yada, yada, yada. I've talked about it before. Well, he posts another episode the other day, and it was called Sobriety. Powerful. Go check it out. I'm not going to put a link in it because I don't know how to. Maybe I can have the intern. I guess I could probably put a link, but just go find it. Why do I have to link it? Why do I have to make it easy for you? Go look for Van Nystad, just like I had to. Go look at Van Nystad and look up his YouTube clip for Sobriety. Fucking powerful, man. Just like brilliant. But he was like documenting himself back in the day in his addiction and documenting his life, you know, because Him and his brother, they had this the Neistat Brothers show on HBO, so they've always been short film people. They've always had a camera around. So, but he had a lot of like film and footage and thoughts from back in his addiction days, and it just, you know, now it's starting to make sense why he is a spirited man, because he has come through, and I think he has something like 3,000 days, consecutive days. Let's see. I'm going to celebrate 13 years. Let's see. Calculator. So even at 365 times 12 equals 4,380 days. So I guess he must have, 365 times 10. That would be three. So maybe he's got around 10 years. But it makes sense. Now I get it. Now I understand why he's a spirited man. I mean, if you are an addict or an alcoholic or something, and you work a 12-step program and you come out on the other side with some sort of sobriety, serenity, you have got to be spirited. You cannot be anything other than spirited and be sober. You cannot be the opposite of spirited and sober. Doesn't happen. Because spirited to me is the byproduct of removing a lot of bullshit that you collect when you're deep in your fucking addiction of self. We admitted we were powerless over our self and that our lives have become unmanageable. I mean, that's really what we're saying. Whether it's alcohol, drugs, sex, money, whatever. We admitted we were powerless over self, that our lives had become unmanageable because of it. Or does it even say that? We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. That's tricky. We admitted we were powerless over self, that our lives had become unmanageable. Is that two statements? We admitted we were powerless over self. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Okay. My life is unmanageable. See, that's shady, right? Because then you automatically think, well, it's because of the alcohol. I wonder if they did that on purpose. You think Bill W. and Dr. Bob are like, you know, were they that smart? Were they that with it to have made a step that sounds one way, completely leading you to believe or make you feel that the reason that your life is unmanageable is because of the alcohol? You know, I shared the other day about that guy, Russell Brand, and his first step, I'm fucked up. I hope, you know, I like, you know, that's funny, but I hope that, you know, if you want to get sober and you're interested about sobriety and you're interested about, you know, just maybe less interested about sobriety, but just interested about learning what self does in our lives and the tools that we have to fix it, then, you know, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable is a great gathering of words. I'm fucked up is so, it's like cussing. You know, I always tell my kids, I don't care if you cuss. But I think you can come up with a better word. I think you're smarter than that. You know, I'm fucked up. Oh, great. That is such a broad brush. We admitted we were, and I'm not going to do it all over again, but it is, you know, however many days and years it's been, and it's still, you know, I was reading that the other day, and I'm still blown away by it. I'm still hung up on the first step. Are you spirited if you're hung up on the first step? Do you want to learn more? Do you want to understand more? Can you overanalyze the first step? I mean, it's pretty clear. I got us here. It's going to take weed to get us out of here. It's a disease of self. We admitted we were powerless over self. Can I change that word to self? Does it have to be alcohol? It doesn't. So So Van Nystad is a spirited man because Van Nystad has clearly worked the steps. And what was interesting is that in his video, he talks about the big book, and he brings the big book up on the video. And he says in the video that the reason, and I've noticed this, I've never thought about it, but it's hard to read the cover because it's embossed or not embossed. It's, you know, it's pressed into the cover, the letters, so they're sunken into the cover, but they're not changed in color. So they're, you know, the big book is blue, and they're kind of, you can feel, you can see the letters, but they're not standing out as another color. And he says that that is because they chose to do that so that people could read that book publicly and no one would know what they were reading. I didn't know that. You know, getting sober back in those days was a thing, you know. It was like, it's, it was probably like being a junkie, right? You know, if you, if you're hiring someone and they're like, yeah, I'm an ex heroin addict, you probably feel some sort of way. Like heroin addicts, we're still struggling with that. We've come to grips with alcoholics. But like a heroin addict, oh yeah, I'm an ex heroin addict. You're like, oh, okay, well, I don't know why that would be a problem. But you hesitate, I guess, or I would hesitate, or I wouldn't want to, but that's what it was like being an alcoholic back in those days. You know, it was really, you know, and we, it's still important to keep anonymity, and you know, anonymity is so important, even today. But back then, you know, if they found out you were in meetings or an alcoholic, you know, people would think or talk. So we've come a long way, but, you know, it is a, unfortunately, the gift of this book is only given to those that it seems like they have an alcohol problem. So we admitted we are powerless over self, that our lives have become unmanageable. Maybe that's opens up the door to help people that are maybe struggling with other addictions like food and money and sex and all the other stuff. It's all the disease of self. I'm pretty sure. So check out Van Nystad. I guess the point of that was is that he's clearly worked a program and he's spirited. And I love that. You know, there's a great mystery when you get getting sober about the spiritual awakening. And I think that we come into a program, I know I came into this program thinking one way and realizing over years of work, years of it. It wasn't in a week and it wasn't in a year. It was years of work. The definition and understanding of what a spiritual awakening is and what that means to me. And today it is about being spirited, a spirited man. So go check out Van Nystad's page. And, you know, it's pretty powerful. I would love to get that guy on my podcast. I doubt I can, but I may try. Let's read our, we're running a little bit out of time here. Let's read our daily reflections and get on with it. Daily Reflections, where are you at? Yep. Looks like we got a Wi-Fi problem today. Here we go. Oh. You know what? I knew, you know, I was, you know, we were talking to my in-laws last night, my wife. You know, my wife and I are both sober. And my wife's just, you know, she's got a couple, a year and a half or two, I don't know. She's pretty new, but she always says something like, well, it's better than the way it used to be, you know, like, because we were talking to my in-laws about quitting smoking and stuff, and she was saying, you know, it's better than what I used to do. Like, she always brings up, like, and I wanted to tell her, but I didn't, because I didn't want to say it in a way, I didn't want to upset her, and I didn't really know how to say it, so I just didn't say it. But what I wanted to tell her was, you know, I think it's time that we can start being better, you know? Like, I don't think it's, and I didn't know, I thought, well, maybe I would say, do you think it's time that we start being better? Maybe, do you think it's time that we start skipping the opportunities to bring up the past? You know, like that, like, oh, well, at least, you know, it's not heroin, or, you know, at least it's, you know, not alcohol, or whatever it is that, you know, people do. Do we need to still bring that up? You know, and it's funny because May 12th, the past is over. This is the reading. AA experience has taught us we cannot live alone with our pressing problems and the character defects which cause or aggravate them. If step four has revealed in stark relief those experiences we'd rather not remember, then the need to quit living by ourselves with those tormenting ghosts of yesterday gets more urgent than ever. We have to talk to somebody about them. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 55. Whatever is done is over. It cannot be changed, but my attitude about it can be changed through talking with those who have gone before with sponsors. I can wish the past never was, but if I change my actions in regard to what I have done, my attitude will change. I won't have to wish the past away. I can change my feelings and attitudes, but only through my actions and the help of my fellow alcoholics. Yeah. It's time to move on. You know, and I think that that's a conversation that her and I have to have. But I don't want to, you know, I don't want to upset her. I don't want her to feel like I'm telling her what to do. So I guess I have to learn how to ask her in a way that allows her to make the decision. All right, bye.